It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is the Grilling Guys, each and every Saturday on the Michigan Talk Network, part of the Cumulus Broadcasting System. We'd like to welcome our affiliates in Ann Arbor, WTKA 1050, and 1290 WLBY, the talk station. The Grilling Guys are smoking up backyards all over this state. I'm Jop. He's Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Grilling Guys. We are on a live remote today. We are in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're doing our show from Sobeys Meats, and we are going to be talking with all sorts of great people here today, but we're just out traveling around Michigan every Saturday trying to hit a different place and smoke up the scene.
Yeah, if you're listening to us for the first time, we're the Grilling Guys. We're just a couple of guys that like to talk about barbecue, a little bit of technique, a little bit of recipes now and then, choosing the right piece of meat when you're at the butcher shop. That's what you're going to get a big taste of today. Is we're live at a 60-foot meat counter right in front of us, and we're going to be running up and down this counter over the next couple hours. But should be a lot of fun, and we're going to kick it off right now with, we have a culinary instructor with us here today. His name is Chef Bob Schultz, and Bob is going to help us talk about three good ways to grill your food. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. What a great atmosphere right here. I tell you what, if no one's ever been out to Sobeys Meats, it's absolutely incredible. The town is buzzing, and people are running in and out of the store and grabbing the meat and ready to grill. So what a great environment to be in.
So, you know, Bob is, you teach at the Grand Rapids Community College School of Culinary.
Correct.
I didn't say that properly,
correct.
Did I?
Yeah, no, that's okay. I teach at Grand Rapids Community College. We offer three different programs there. We have a culinary arts program, culinary management program, and a baking and pastry program there. We're always in the top 10, top 5 in the world as far as nationally accredited through the ACF, American Culinary Federation, and we place students all over the world when they get through our program, and actually going to travel a little bit and see them in Hawaii and different places this summer.
And I think it's misleading, because when people hear it's a community college, they think, oh, it's just people from that town, and yours happens to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But I know enough about that school through my friendship for you over the last decade at least, that I know that people come from all over the country to go to that school. So you're very highly ranked in North America as a culinary institution.
Yes, it's one of the best.
So don't let the community college throw you, in other words, is what I'm saying.
Right. It's definitely one of the best-kept secrets. It is. It's great. We have a great staff. We have a great team there, great diversity with our instructors. And deep down, we just want to help the students prepare themselves for the workforce. And coming out to different places and doing different things with them, it really helps. And that's what a lot of people got to realize. It's kind of a tough market out there. It's not... You know, the economy is rougher, but, you know, I think there is some jobs out there, some people for people, definitely in the hospitality industry. A lot of our students, if they're willing to move a little bit, there's some jobs. I got jobs in North Carolina for people if they want it.
I'll take it.
I know. Me too. Me too. Hopefully we'll get a road trip there this summer.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys. It's Saturday, and we are live in your backyard in any one of about 100 communities around Michigan. And we are here to help you smoke it up, make it a great weekend. Mother's Day is tomorrow, fellas. Stay tuned to this show, because we're going to teach you some things. You know, Mother's Day is a time when you just sit back and you reflect, and you want to make sure that you're taking care of your wife or the mother of your children. And we're going to teach you a few things about putting on a nice piece of meat on the grill tomorrow and not making sure that you don't over-season it or you over-marinate it. Because, you know what, in the spirit of Mother's Day, guys, Seasoning and marinating meat is like perfume. A little bit of it is really good, but too much of it is overpowering. I mean, you've all been in an elevator, right? Or somewhere where a lady walks in with too much perfume on. It's all you can smell for an hour. Same thing, you know, to draw the parallel with seasoning. What do you think about that, Bob?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Seasoning is the key. There's a couple different ways you can improve your grilled meats. I like brining certain types of meat. A brine, if people don't know what a brine is, it's about equal parts of sugar to salt and usually some sort of liquid, mostly times water. Depending on what kind of meat or protein you're using, you can alter that liquid a little bit, kind of add a little bit of juice, like apple juice if I'm using pork or something like that.
What kind of meat would you brine, for example?
Definitely pork. Pork is a great protein to brine. If it's a short amount of time, I'll do chicken and turkeys with a lighter brine. When I say lighter brine, it's not as high of a ratio with salt and sugar to water for turkeys and chickens.
Okay, so let's say I walk into the meat market here, any meat market across the state, and there's hundreds of them out there, but these family-owned meat markets like we're in today, the quality is the key. I mean, that's their differentiator, right? The big box stores can buy tons of meat at a better price, but the small butcher shops, one is quality, but two, so I pick a piece of pork. What pork would I brine? If I'm standing at the meat counter and I'm looking at the pork selection, what do I pick out to brine?
Great question. There's a couple different things you do. If you're doing to feeding the masses, and I'm saying like 15 and more than 15 people, like if the family's coming over, I like using pork loins. It is definitely a more tender cut of meat, but I like leaving the fat on that. So I would brine that. I would a little bit of brown sugar, a little bit of, I actually use a little bit of honey in there and a little bit of kosher salt or Hawaiian salt would be great with that. And then I like adding a little bit of apple juice to my pork.
Now, would you jacquard that at all?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
To help the brine soak in.
Penetrate that. Yeah, absolutely.
What is a jacquard?
How long would you?
If somebody doesn't know, what talk about a jacquard, because from time to time, I'm sorry, but what is that?
Yeah, jacquard is when you're piercing the meat with
little needles.
Little needles. If I'm at home, I can use a fork. I can use anything like that to try to penetrate and break the fiber and the protein on the pork to have them soak that in. So, yeah, so with needles, or if you don't have a needle at home, I just use a fork. You can, okay. That would work too.
So how long would you brine the loin?
Depending on what I'm doing, probably about 3 or 4 days if I can, if it's a light brine.
Isn't that going to really change the meat, though?
It will.
If you take a pork butt and you brine it and smoke it, you have ham.
Correct.
So you're changing it. If you take a brisket off a cow and you brine it, you have corned beef.
Correct. Correct. And that's where the pinkish color comes in, like with a ham, with pork. It's the nitrates that are there that are in that that's going to help turn it like a pinkish color.
You're really turning me on. Stop that.
But, no, it's a little bit of brine, and that's where I would alter the brine a little bit. So I would reduce the sugar if I'm going to add like a apple juice into it, or if I slice some fruits and put that in my brine, that's usually a pretty good thing to do, too.
Yeah, you know, we've got a couple brining recipes on thegrillingguys.com if you want to go to our website and check that out. Bob, you said 3 or 4 days on a brine. Is there so we're going from brine. Now I want to maybe slide into marinade a little bit. When we come back in the next segment, I want to talk about that.
Okay.
But because if I don't, tomorrow's Mother's Day, and I'm standing in the meat market today.
Okay.
Let's talk about what it is that we can do that if I picked up a piece of meat this morning and I want to grill it tomorrow afternoon when the family's coming over. What we can do. So we're going to cover that when we come back.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. You know, also coming up next is we've got National Barbecue Month, and Bob's going to break that down for us a little bit. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about Texas barbecue, too, as we come up in the next few segments. So we're live in Grand Rapids at a meat market. You're listening to The Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.